Where do you find your confidence? Where do you find your confidence? Confidence is important. It energizes us. It helps us go forward and move forward in difficult situations and in places where we'd prefer not to be. Where do you find your confidence? If you're anything like me, I tend to go find my confidence. If I need confidence, the first thing I do is I turn on my music, right? So I go through my phone, which thank goodness for the modern era of phones where I have my entire music library, and I can go through, I'm like, that's the song I need to hear to amp me up to face whatever situation I have. Or sometimes I put my confidence in my abilities to communicate, my abilities for creativity. You might be different. Where do you put your confidence? You might have financial means, and so you put your confidence in finances. You might have great abilities. You might be athletic. You might be very intelligent, or have what they call emotional intelligence, and you can figure out people before they know what's going on. Where do you put your confidence? Where do you find your confidence? Over and above all of these things that we can put confidence in stands Jesus Christ. We just sang about him. We just worshiped him. We continue to worship him. Jesus Christ, conqueror of sin and death, came back to life, reigns forevermore, creator over all things. Why should we find our confidence in him? Why should we find our confidence in Jesus? Well, as we look at 1 John chapter 5, I think it's appropriate that we began preaching through the letters of John in the old building. And now we conclude 1 John at this building. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He gives us a good reason as we read through this of why we should put our confidence in Jesus and have confidence in his presence. Verse 14, he says, "Now, this is the confidence we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin that does not bring death, he should ask and God will give life to him, to those who commit sin that doesn't bring death. There is sin that brings death. I am not saying he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that does not bring death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know the true one. We are in the true one, that is, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Okay, so it's kind of a weird form of thought that he starts with, and he ends his letter. And it's a very weird way to end the letter. Normally, when you end a letter, how do you end a letter? "Sincerely yours, Bob," right? You know, or "I love you deeply," you know, blah, 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 you know, right? Like, you end it that way. You don't end it with, "Guard yourself from idols." Whoa, peace out, right? Like, he doesn't even give us that. It's John. Nothing. Guard yourselves from idols. Well, he says this. Why should we have confidence in Jesus? Why should we find our confidence in Jesus, before Jesus, when we come to Jesus, when we walk about in Jesus' name? He starts it off, verse 14. "Now, this is the confidence we have before him." And by the way, he kind of confuses intentionally. Is he talking about Jesus? Is he talking about God? Is he talking about the Father? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, that's important. It's not just, give me a Ferrari. He hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask him for. We can ask him for anything. And we have confidence when we come to him, but we have confidence through him and because of him. That the God of the universe, Jesus who created all things, by whom all things were created and not one thing was created that has been created. He hears us. And if we ask things according to his will, he will answer them. So then he has this weird thing for our minds. He says, if you see your brother committing a sin that does not bring death. I think he's referring to like eternal damnation. I think he's talking about sins that will lead us to error. Remember the context of 1 John. The context of 1 John is, a lot of it is he is fighting against false teachers. False teachers who are denying who really Jesus is. They're not following the real Jesus, the one who is fully God and fully man, crucified for our sins and resurrected from the dead. They're following a fake Jesus that was made in man's image. And so I think he's referring to this. If someone has they're following fake Jesus, an idol, a false god, that leads to death. He's like, pray for him, sure, but if you have a brother or sister who has a false belief and you say, well, I think the Trinity is kind of like an egg, and God's made up, or better yet, he's like the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger Zord or Voltron or anything like that. All of these parts come together to make the larger whole. Like, no, that's heresy. So you correct them and pray for them, and the Holy Spirit convicts them, no, you're wrong. And they go, oh, okay. So if they're in that kind of error, he says God will restore them. And then he goes in verse 18, he says, everyone who has been born of God does not sin. Now, John, this doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect before Jesus comes. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you're not characterized by sin anymore. You're characterized by Christ. Because he just said before, yeah, pray for your brother and God will forgive him. The evil one does not touch them. We know that we are of God. The whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one, Jesus, who is true God and eternal life. And then he ends it, little children, guard yourselves from idols. He hasn't mentioned idols the entire book. Well, what are idols? Idols are anything that sets itself above the one true God. Idols are false saviors. Idols are false messiahs. Idols are lesser things than God that we put our trust in, that we put our hope in, that we think will make our life better, that we think will improve us, that we think will answer all of our deepest needs. Idols are false gods. Why should we put our confidence in Jesus? And he kind of lays us out this argument, and he answers the question right at the end. We should put our confidence in Jesus. We should find our ultimate confidence in Jesus so that we don't trust lesser things, so that we don't follow false gods, so we don't put our hope, our desires in lesser things than the greatest one, the greatest person, the greatest thing in all the universe and beyond, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example for this. Imagine that you have a wedding, right? And you're getting married. And it's not one of those, like, simple, economical weddings, right? No. It's like one of those massive weddings where you could, like, put two down payments on two separate houses because it costs so much, right? Those make a lot of sense. So it's a massive wedding, and thousands of dollars are being spent. So what do? You hire a photographer, the best photographer, because you want her to take good pictures so you can remember your special day, right? Right? Nobody doesn't hire a photographer or get a friend or something. So, what kind of camera do you want your photographer to put her confidence in? Oh, I know. I've got a good idea. She comes up. She shows up to the photo meet, to the wedding, and she says, look, I've got this BlackBerry. You guys remember BlackBerry? Mm-hmm. Cutting edge about 10 years ago. Everybody needed a BlackBerry. And I'm going to take some pictures with this. It's got 1.2 megapixels. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic, right? So you want her to put your confidence in this, right? To take pictures of your most special day that's cost $20,000, $30,000, right? No, of course not. Ha! Yeah. I got a better idea. My son has this flip phone. Flip it up and take pictures. It's a toy. It's not a real phone, but it has Spider-Man on it, right? Everybody likes Spider-Man. You take some selfies, you know? This is what you want her to put your confidence in, right? No, of course not. What do you want? What do you want your photographer to put confidence in? You want a single-lens reflex camera with wide-angle lenses and zoom lenses and the whole works. Right, that's what you want her to put her confidence in. Not a flip phone, not a BlackBerry, not even a new smartphone. I mean, they're cool, but they only work like from here to there. That's where you get good pictures, not all the way over there. So unless you're like taking the vows and the photographer's like, it's not going to work. You want her to put her confidence in the best of the best. That's the same thing John's saying. That is his whole argument throughout the book. Is put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you from your sins. He adopts you into God's family. He transforms your life and gives you meaning and purpose and life, true life, and freedom from sin. Put your confidence in Him so you don't settle for lesser things, lesser gods, lesser anything. He is the one you put your ultimate trust in. Or it's like this. Imagine a young couple just had a baby. Newborn baby in the hospital, and the baby's coming home from the hospital. And what do you What do you do to transport this child home from the hospital? How do you transport this child home from the hospital? Ah, I know. Yeah, you take that little baby girl. Oh, she's so cute and soft and cuddly. I'll put pillows on the back bench, and we'll just put the pillows around her, and we'll drive real carefully on the way home from the hospital. Is that what you do? No. No. I know. You're like, safety. They put seatbelts in there for a reason. Okay, good. So you prop the little kid up in the back seat, and you take the seatbelt, and, you know, you kind of work on that. Is that what you do? No, not a good option. What do? 5-point safety harness, right? Rear facing in the back. And then you drive slow and carefully, sweating the whole way. True story. That's what you do. Why? Because will the pillows protect the child? Maybe a little bit. Will the regular seatbelt protect the child? Maybe. Kind of dangerous. Don't settle for the lesser thing. Don't settle for the lesser thing. The best thing to transport a child in is a rear-facing 5 points or like 8 points or however many points you can find safety harness. And they like it, little babies, I'm told. You know, they can be swaddled and restrained like an insane person. They like it. In the same way, that's what John says, find your confidence in Jesus. You confidently, because of Jesus, if you followed him, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you boldly go after him. You boldly can talk to him and have conversation with him. But you also find your confidence in him. And he says, he concludes it. He says, little children, guard yourself from idols, from lesser things, from things that can't save like Jesus, from things that can't change your life like Jesus, from lesser things that did not create the universe, that don't know you by name, that don't care about you. Guard yourself from these lesser things, from these false gods, from these false saviors. Some of you might object, and you might be here saying, well, look, Pastor, that's all well and good, but I have reasons to have confidence. I have reasons. I have financial means. You might not know that looking at the offering, but I have financial means. And I have so much money, and you don't know the problems that money's gotten out of. And you know what? You're talking about raising money to put an addition on there. I could fix that like that. So you should put your confidence in money. You need confidence in money. Money will get you somewhere. It'll get you somewhere, but it doesn't change your life. It doesn't save you. It won't transform who you are. It certainly won't save you from your sins. It won't give you eternal life. It has not created all things. If you don't believe me, money won't change your problems. There are several artists who have said, more money, more problems, right? Just go, I'm not really making this as a real suggestion, but go and get some of the gossip rags from the local supermarket, right? And look at all the celebrities and all of their, like all of those inquirers and all those things. They're filled with nothing but inspirational stories about how this filthy, rich, famous artist or actor or actress, they've used all of their money to just gloriously live their lives, and it's solved all of their problems, right? Is that what they're filled with? No! No, it's just like, that person got married, and everyone starts a betting pool. Like, how long is that going to last? Right? Like, just, it doesn't solve anything. It's a tool, but it's not a savior. So you put your confidence in money, forget it. It's not going to work. Or maybe some of you are like, I get the money. Right? Money, roots of all kinds of evil. I get that. But, Pastor, you don't understand my mad skills. I've got abilities. You're obviously terrible at sports, so I was physically physical prowess. Or, Pastor, you're not all that smart. I can use my intellect to get me out of any situation. And you put your confidence, your ultimate final confidence, in your abilities, your skills. Problem with that is there's always going to be someone better. There will always be someone smarter than you. Always someone stronger. Always someone who just has it together better. They have more resources. They have more friends or acquaintances that they can bring in to their fold. You will always find someone better and always find someone who can beat you. Your resources, your abilities are limited. Put your confidence in Jesus Christ. Or some of you might say, you're not saying this, but I'll say it for you because, you know, no one ever admits it because we know it's wrong. But you say, look, I've got confidence in relationships. I've got some of you in particular, men and women. If only I found the right person, then my life would be complete. If only my spouse would get it together, then my life would be happy. I'd have no more problems in the world. Some of you teenagers, if only I found the right person and married them, then all of my life problems will go away. I know, that was my exact, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong going into marriage. And I'm like, nope, nope, I know it's wrong, I know it's wrong, but I feel in my heart that it's true. Chris, we got problems. We got problems. Not just between us, but in our life, you know. But sometimes between us. Okay, a lot of times between us. And it's mostly me. We have problems. The relationship won't get us out there. John says you should put your confidence, you should find your ultimate confidence in Jesus, because he will guard you from following lesser things, from putting your confidence in things that will not deliver, that can never deliver. They never will follow through. Instead, he says, put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think money's going to solve all your problems? Yeah, you know what? Jesus is not going to make you wealthy. Jesus isn't going to fulfill your wildest financial dreams and fill up your 401k beyond your craziest imagination. But he does promise to his followers that he will supply all of your needs. You think you have abilities and you put your trust in your abilities? Well, Jesus created the world. Paul says, in his weakness, Christ is strong. In your weakness, you will actually see God work more strongly than in your strengths, because you have to throw up your hands and say, I can't do this on my own, Lord. I can't. I'm so weak here. I'm a coward, or I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the resources. I don't have enough friends to do this. That's when Jesus says, I'll do it. And you see him move, and you see him work. In your weakness, he's strong. You think romantic relationships or any relationship is going to fulfill every one of your desires? They can't. We are all flawed human beings. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I will fail you as a pastor. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, I have failed so many of you as a pastor. And I repent of anything that I need to. If there's something I said or did in the last 2 weeks that I'm not aware of, because like at my core, I am a cold, heartless jerk who needs Jesus Christ every day, come talk to me so I can apologize. Serious. It will, every so often, I hear people over, it's got to be so great to be married to a pastor. No. Oh, maybe another pastor. No. No, it's not. We're all desperately in need of Jesus. Your relationships will not fulfill your every need and the needs of your soul, because you're asking that person to be God for you, and only Jesus can be God for you. He knows your hurts. He knows your needs. He loves you. He cares for you. He's the only one who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will walk with you in all the dark places that you have to go. He's the only one who will. Everyone else will fail you at times. But there stands Jesus. You should put your confidence and find your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will guard you from following lesser things. Guard yourself from idols. Let's pray. Father, it is so easy for us to trust in our circumstances, for us to put our confidence in our finances or our abilities or our relationships or whatever, Lord. And Lord, slowly, as John pointed out in his letter to the church, those things can become idols. We begin to worship them. We become to look like those things that we worship. And we lose sight of you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we guard ourselves from idols by finding our ultimate confidence, not in our abilities, not in our finances, not in anything else other than Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for those who are here who are struggling with sin, and the sin has ruled their lives. I pray that in the name of Jesus, they will repent and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life none of us lived, died the death we deserve, and rose again and reigns victorious. I pray, Lord, that you'll keep us from idols, from lesser things, from false gods. Help us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who on this Palm Sunday, the masses followed and said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. God, save us now. Worthy is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. King Jesus, save us now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.